You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, it's time to turn to the United Kingdom, and I have my friend Sunil Sharma, the head of the Global Conservative Coalition, back on the show. Sunil, welcome back.
Hey, Simon. It's good to be back. Fortunately, not on a great period for us in the UK, but good to be speaking to you nevertheless.
Talk us through what's happening. I mean, lots of riots. I mean, it just almost seems out of control. But talk us through what's happening and the various reactions.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of sort of anger. Being in the UK for quite some time, and I think it really skyrocketed on the 29th of July. So there was a stabbing incident where three children were attacked and others were wounded in Southport. And from the basis of that, there was information spread online that the person was essentially a asylum seeker, came back to the country by boat, and a Muslim asylum seeker, which wasn't actually correct. And in the end, this sort of spiraled into riots occurring, and they just seem to have got bigger and bigger. It's also worth noting, which hasn't really been covered much in the UK media outlets, that an army soldier was stabbed also a day before that, 10 times in the back, just outside one of the barracks here in the UK. So there's been quite a few these sort of smaller scale incidents. The one that seems to have really got the people angry was the one on the 29th of July. That said, it's quite clear that this is a lot bigger than that specific incident. And we've seen just pretty much riots across the country from both far-right groups and also Islamist groups now that we're almost responding to this. So it's pretty much chaotic across the country. We've got an extra 30 riots that are apparently happening today. The good news is the police have said that they think it's a manageable situation this time. But yeah, it's pretty chaotic and getting quite, I think, disturbing.
Ultimately, driving all of this, as you say, there's the fake news. Sorry, I hate using that term now. I've just used it, but around the stabbing, awful stabbing of those three children, that's certainly tapped into a vein. As you say, you've got what they're terming the far right, you've got thugs, you've got Islamists. This seems to have boiled over. In other words, there's things underneath that's been bubbling away that's led to this. Is there any sort of insight you can provide us on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of misinformation. There was information on, for example, on Saturday that a Muslim woman was attacked with acid in Middlesbrough, which seems to have sparked the Islamists in this country attacking places across the UK, in particular Birmingham and other areas. This obviously didn't happen. I think there's been widespread real frustration in this country, talking of sort of mass migration. The UK has changed significantly, whether it's with its demographic and just generally the way that the country has been. So prior to the Tony Blair administration, England's obviously been a country that's been very pro-immigration, has very multicultural for quite some time now. And I think during the 80s and 90s, we were looking at sort of around 10, 20, max 30,000 of mass our net migration. So 10 to 20 or 30 more people coming to this country than leaving. That's now changed in the last decade, if not longer, to hundreds of thousands. So it's been quite an unsustainable approach that's gone on, regardless of whoever's been in power, Labour or Conservative. It seemed that neither party has been able to get any sort of control on mass migration. And I think that's really impacted a lot of communities across the country. So here we also have the NHS, our universal health credit system, if you like. And it's, for a lot of people, almost virtually impossible to get a GP appointment, even though they'll pay taxes and they still can't actually get their appointments. A general running down of the country in terms of its general standards. And some of that is not just because of mass migration, but there's no doubt that's played some part. And then there's also the cultural stuff. So I think some of the authorities in this country have some serious questions that need to be answered. So we've had examples of people, a massive scandal, if you like, that's been exposed in the last couple of years with regards to grooming gangs. So we, in just one small town in England called Rotherham, there was more than 1,000 young girls were sexually exploited for more than 10 years. And largely by the Pakistani Muslim community, the police refused to investigate or refused to conduct any serious investigation, despite a number of kids and children, kids and parents coming out and protesting that, you know, their child has been sexually assaulted and exploited, and awful things happened. And the police refused to investigate on the basis that they believed it could stoke racial tensions. That was their exact words in the report they released, that by investigating more than 90% of the people who were doing these was from Pakistani Muslim backgrounds, and they refused to investigate that, and they only started to investigate that once it became public knowledge. But this went on for years and years. So there's lots of examples of like that, where authorities have just, it seems as if to certain communities, that they're not really prepared to really give them the fair sort of treatment, and hence why all across social media and across lots of people, you'll be hearing two-tier policing in terms of in this country, where it seems as if when a so-called far-right group is antagonizing or, you know, doing illegal stuff, they are rightly prosecuted, they are rightly arrested. But with other groups, that's not the case. And I think that's where the real deep resentment is building in this country.
I mean, we're obviously, well, I'm on the other side of the world. There does seem to be that, and in some ways, it seems a lot of these important conversations around migration, how we integrate people, and this is the same in New Zealand, these conversations are not being had, which leads to a boil over of frustrations. And those, from what I can observe in the UK, who are raising questions are quickly shouted down. And that two-tier policing, if I might, because wasn't it 2 weeks ago there were, seemed to be migrant or Islamist sort of, supported riots in Leeds, and yet very little discussed there. We had the Black Lives Matter, we've had the pro-Hamas. From what we can see, again, in our news, and very little was being said in the UK, but all of a sudden now it's being called out, rightly, as you say, because it's terrible violence. But that two tiers does seem, even down here in the Antipodes, very obvious.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Leeds is a fantastic example. You know, there was so many, police cars being set on fire, very minimal coverage. There's minimal coverage on some of the riots going on in Birmingham. People holding, you know, you're talking like almost like samurai swords. You know, somebody on Sky News, a journalist on Sky News, yesterday was live on TV surrounded by like 15 Islamists. There's a video of Islamists stabbing their tires, smashing windows, and Sky News took the video down. They deleted it off social media. And it just seems that there's been that sort of protection of certain groups, that if you like, the Islamist groups, and that's, I think, even just adding more fuel to the fire of what's going on in this country. There definitely doesn't seem to be a fair representation. And I think this is where, I think, to be honest, where you're almost grateful for there's some channels like GB News that have been great, but more important, to be honest, X, Twitter, I mean, that's been formidable in terms of showcasing a lot of what's going on in this country. Because if you were to turn on the news, it would seem there's only one group that's rioting right now, and some of the information is just not, I wouldn't even say misinformed, but they're just not showing the full extent of what's going on in this country. And I think that's really, really concerning. It's just making the situation work. And I don't think Keir Starmer's really helped in terms of with his comments. He came out a few days ago and essentially said that, blaming purely far-right groups, making no concept of what else is going on in this country. And I think the public, within days now, he's fallen by 16 points. So he's gone from being in a fairly comfortable position, but since that speech has really dropped quite significantly. And now he's had to convene his first COBRA meeting, which is almost a bit like a crisis meeting today. A lot of people argue that this should have been done last week when the riots first took place in Southport, before Hull, Hartlepool and Liverpool. I think it would have made sense to do it straight away when we're seeing clearly that, you know, protests had happened of quite significant violence and more were planned. So it's just pretty chaotic at the moment. And the Black Lives Matter is a really good point, because I think with Black Lives Matter, the big difference was, although, you know, many of us disagreed with it, many of us had real issues with, especially with the timing when COVID had just started, and they there was these mass gatherings, and, you know, police officers were attacked, people were sent to were imprisoned while this was all happening. But all over our news channels, that wasn't necessarily shown. But what was being shown is more the problems the Black community had in the UK, even though this obviously it was sparked off by the George Floyd incident in America. Still in the UK, really dominated our news about the general treatment of Black people in the UK. And we were all essentially forced to ask this question, like, why has this happened? Why are people rioting? Why are Black people feeling so aggrieved? I'd add that the majority of Black people weren't actually protesting or rioting. So I think there's some of it was definitely taken out of context. But anyway, these questions were asked. And it just seems with these riots, no one is prepared to ask these questions. Well, especially in our media, no one seems remotely prepared to ask why this is happening. Instead, they're branding them as crazy far-right, white, EDL, which is our English Defence League, racist group of people, rather than just saying, okay, clearly some of them are, clearly some of these people should be punished. Clearly they're looking at an opportunity to riot, to be racist, to do thuggery. But clearly there's also a lot of deep-rooted anger amongst a massive population of this country, and just branding them all as far-right groups, I think, is really, really dangerous and not remotely effective.
And I'm looking from miles away, but there's strong hints of that as well, that it's just been made almost, no pun intended, very black and white. There's no nuance. Media, the mainstream, do seem quite biased. And for what I can see, there seems to be quite a sub-narrative being pushed through that this is all the problem of social media, a desire, in fact, to try and limit alternative media outlets or X and so forth, because, well, as you pointed out, they're the ones actually providing a breadth of information. But there's almost, well, would it be fair to say there is a bit of a sub-narrative coming through the political leadership and others that, you know, X is part of the problem here?
Definitely. I mean, we're seeing Labour MPs yesterday on social media, on X, you know, really questioning and asking for censorship and all of this sort of question, saying X has been spreading misinformation. I think, to be honest, since the riots, I think people like myself, and I think a lot of this country, are just so grateful for X. X is growing in terms of its users every single day in the UK. It's like becoming one of the fastest growing apps, and that's quite something considering it already has a massive following and already has millions of people have downloaded the app. And I think it just seems to be the only place you can get any sort of full scale of information. Obviously there is going to be misinformation on there, but the great thing on X is you can debate it, you can see people going back and forth against it, whereas with the English media, the mainstream media, there is no back and forth. It's what they tell you is gospel, and if you go against it, then you're essentially lying, or you're not giving or you're thrown away, essentially. So X has been fantastic in terms of for the UK showing the full scale of things. Sky News is a fantastic example, one of our biggest news outlets in the whole of the UK, and we saw, you know, one of their journalists essentially being mobbed by a group of Islamists. We saw their car being attacked, and they took these videos down. They put them up initially, and then they took them straight down. Clearly, they don't want to show what was happening there. And so it's deeply concerning. I think you're completely right in terms of what we'll probably see in the next few days is more and more of our current government talk about censoring X and censoring other social media platforms that provide this sort of news. And I think it will be a really, really wrong thing to do. As somebody, you know, being brutally honest, is more on the right than the left. It's always worrying about censorship, because you naturally, if you're on the right, you're going to want to censor people on the left, and if you're on the left, then you want to censor people on the right. And in this case, it seems more of our left-leaning government and our left-leaning media for sure want to censor a lot of these, you know, I wouldn't even say right-wing questions, I would say pretty common sense and standard questions. And this issue of mass migration is not a right or left-wing issue. It's something that's hit all cores in this country, regardless of agenda. And I think the Labour government's period of, on the surface, when you guys would have seen the results and other countries that would have seen the results, they would have thought, wow, it's a massive landslide for Labour, which it 100% was. But the other reality of it is, this was one of the lowest turnouts of an election that we've ever seen in this country. And Labour have got less than 10% of the adults in this country actually voted for them. So I think this is maybe showing the last 4 weeks that the massive majority of this government won isn't necessarily reflective of the country's sentiments.
And I worry, again, I keep saying, obviously, I'm on the other side of the world, I'm just an observer, but I worry the way it's being handled is fueling the resentment, which in no way justifies the terrible behaviour by any and all of the groups involved. But yeah, it's worrying. And well, let's just hope, Sunil, that first and foremost, you and your wider family stay safe, and hopefully too, over the coming days, law and order can be restored. And if I might, a mature conversation, is that the right way to say it, can be had across the country, so that, you know, all these tensions simmer down.
Yeah, I mean, I think what would really help is, I think, just an acknowledgement of, you know, some of the frustrations these groups are facing. Because, you know, a lot of these people obviously are rioting, and those ones should be, you know, prosecuted and sent to prison and stuff. But I think some people are very angry and heated in this country, and I think they need to have some sensible conversations and at least open the dialogue, because this is, although there is mass rioters, majority of the country obviously isn't rioting, but they still feel very angry. They still feel very let down. You know, we've talked about it before on this platform and in the past. It seems any sort of these conversations that we have when we talk about mass migration, you're labelled straight away far right. The conversation is shut down, and I think that's left a lot of people seriously frustrated and angry. And they've taken out, a lot of people have taken out purely in the completely the wrong way. But there are lots of sensible people out there who do want to have this conversation, and it would really help, I think, if our leader in Keir Starmer has the courage to come out and say, make that sort of unifying statement, and not blame it on one group and protect another group, because that's what it seems like he's done in the last week.
Well, I'm incredibly grateful that you've made the time to come on and have that conversation with us. We look forward to having you back on. But as I say, in the meantime, thank you and stay safe.
Thank you, Simon. Speak soon.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.